Our first speaker is Shure Diker from Pennsylvania State University, and his title is Cover Crop Innovations in Pennsylvania.
Thank you. I wanted to just give a little overview of some of three different innovations that we have are working on or have developed in Pennsylvania. The first innovation is more about an outreach program that we have done since from 2010 to 2013. It was titled Without Carrot or Stick. It was an NRCS Conservation Innovation Grant. And it was focused on promoting cover crops after corn silage on dairy farms. Here you see we did... We worked with dairy farmers, and we established small cover crop trials on their small plot cover crop trials on their farms to collect some data of some different cover crops and cover crop species. And then these dairy farms were spread throughout the state. We also included a portion that we gave some the farmer. We asked the farmer, "What would be a cover crop that you would like to try out something new or a mixture?" And we gave him the seed to plant on 10 acres. And then we had field days on the farm in the fall and in the spring. And these farms were not every year the same. So we did this over 3 years. And then we actually monitored the impact. So we monitored how many acres of corn were followed by cover crop in 2009, and how many were followed by cover crop in 2013 using remote sensing. This is just, I'm not going to go into the details because I don't have time, but this is just to show you over the 3 years. This was in the spring. We took biomass from our small plots, and these were some of the data then that we talked about. And we tried some different cover crops. We only could establish a certain amount, but these were established then on all these farms. And they varied from year to year. We kind of evaluated what worked, what didn't work so good, or what was of interest, and then we made some few changes. So the activities, the outreach activities that we did are summarized here. So we had 10 on-farm demonstrations every fall. We had 52 field crop walks in total. We did 27 indoor presentations, and those two were the field walks, and the indoor presentations were attended by 1,886 people. We also produced 5 videos. They were viewed more than 5,000 times. We produced 21 field crop news articles. Field crop news is our Penn State forage field and forage crop newsletter that we publish almost every week. And then there were 2 articles in Lancaster Farming, and Lancaster Farming is our big agricultural newspaper in Pennsylvania and read in other states as well, has 56,000 subscribers. So we did all these things, and then Dean Hively from USDA ARS helped me with using remote sensing. He evaluated the cover crop use after corn, and he geared in on 4 big ag counties where we have relatively large contiguous acres of corn. It was difficult to use this technology where we have a lot of strip cropping or little tiny fields. But here we have relatively larger acreages of corn. So these are very important, the most important agricultural counties in Pennsylvania. So we have here in Berks 74,000 acres of corn, in Lancaster 173,000, and you can see that in total in these 4 counties, 376,000 acres of corn. In 2009, here in Berks, 34% of the corn was followed by a cover crop. So Dean went in and he looked at the remote sensing images in the roughly in February, March, and looked at the greenness of the field. And so that is what he used here. 50% of the land here of the corn was followed by cover crop in 2009, 40% here, and 23%. In 2013, that was 66% of the corn was followed by cover crop here, 74%, 63%, 48%. So here you can see the percent increase that took place during this project period. That meant that signified a 26% increase in new cover crop acres. We extrapolated that to the whole state. And if 26% of the corn acres were new cover crop acres, that represented to 366,000 acres of new cover crops. So I estimated our project was titled without carrot or stick. So we compared our approach with the carrot approach, which is paying farmers subsidies, or by the stick approach, which is enforcing farmers to do something. We estimated what would be the cost of those other approaches. So the carrot, our project, that was our budget. If you use the carrot approach, you pay $40 an acre for every acre. That would have represented $43 million, 170 times more expensive than our project. Four staff persons to enforce this stick approach would have cost $1.2 million over those 3 years. And of course, after those years, it is done, because farmers are not going to continue if they're not going to be continued to. So you have to continue those payments afterwards. But our project is done, but the farmers still continue to use cover crops. So we hired a consultant to ask us what made most sense. So he said, definitely thumbs up. He was not part of our budget. But he said, yeah, definitely those. Thumbs down. So, anyway, that was our first innovation. The second innovation that most of my colleagues are working on this, but is interseeding cover crops into corn. So the rationale here is that late drilling after crops like corn, grain, or soybean harvest is really challenging because it's so late in the season. So a lot of work has been done trying to broadcast cover crops into standing corn, and often the results are very disappointing. Like one out of 3 years you get success. So we have been working on seeding cover crops at V6 at the end of the critical free period for corn, and this machine has been developed, Penn State Interseeder, and it has evolved over time. So now the machine looks like this. It has a drill unit between the rows. It can also apply liquid nitrogen, so it can do side dressing of nitrogen to make it a one-pass operation. And then you can also apply herbicides, so you have three things that you do at once to save on the cost. And this new model also has assist wheels to carry the weight. It has a ground drive to drive the seed metering mechanism, a loading platform. It can be converted to a drill, so you can put on the units that are missing, and then it is becoming a drill so that you don't have to have only an interseeder, and that machine can only be used for interseeding. It is also a drill. And it also has a hitch for towing, because many times the machine needs to be pulled by a truck or so over the road. So here you see the units. It is double disc opener now. That first they were using coulters, but now we have double disc openers. And here we see some results. This is in northern Pennsylvania. You see here it was just established at the time of that the corn was this tall. In July, this is annual ryegrass. In August, here is how it looks. And here in this case, silage was harvested, and you see the cover crop is already there when you harvest the crop. Here, another cover crop, crimson clover, was tried. Now, this is in the south, and what has happened is it works relatively better in the north than in the south. We're not quite sure what it is, but this is how it looks in July. But then when you come in at the end of the season, often the cover crop has disappeared under the canopy. The corn is so competitive, we think, and also the climate might be a factor, because it is much hotter and drier in the south of Pennsylvania than in the north. So now we are experimenting with establishing those cover crops a little bit earlier. And so you see here control, the early establishment, so that is a little bit earlier than V6, for example, at V3. Here you see the corn yields that were achieved. Always there is concern about competition between the corn and the cover crop, but really we seldom see that the cover crop reduces the corn yield. What is more the challenge is to get a good cover crop. And so this is the cover crop rating, and you can see that the earlier established cover crop will look better at the end of the season than the one that was established at V6 in the south. In the north of Pennsylvania, it works okay to do it at V6. So that is a bit of an update on the interseeder. And then the last innovation that I wanted to talk about is planting green, a new technology to plant into green cover crops without first killing them. This is actually a farmer that has bought this, this is on his working farm. This is not experimental anymore. But this is to allow the cover crops to put on more biomass, to improve soil, to avoid hairpinning problems. What we run into often, recommended is to kill the cover crop 2 weeks before you plant to get a crisp drying of that cover crop on the soil surface. Otherwise, you get hairpinning, but sometimes that cover crop doesn't dry down completely and it becomes a little bit rubbery or it looks like gummy cords, whatever. You push that residue into the soil and then it doesn't get cut through and the seed to soil contact is poor. So by using this, the cover crop is still fully under turgor and it is actually easier to cut it at that stage than if it is kind of in an in-between stage. So that's why avoiding hairpinning problems. Of course, you have a lot more biomass, so it can help with weed control. And it is also, we are investigating in this, might be effective in avoiding some insect pest problems because the cover crop is still green for a longer period of time and the corn gets a little more chance to develop and the insect pests don't go immediately after your corn. So this technology, we first started with a separate roller, but now a farmer engineer from Pennsylvania has developed this equipment that it can be mounted on a corn planter. So we have here the roller on the corn planter and the row cleaners here made so that they don't wrap. Of course, we're talking now about huge cover crops. So if you have fingered closed or openers, they can just wrap that stuff like a hay baler. But these don't wrap, and they just part the cover crop, and they don't wrap. And these are also flex, so it's not one solid big bar, but it flexes in units that here at this point they flex. So it follows the ground surface really nicely to be able to crimp that cover crop and put it down on the soil surface. So this was this spring. We had this cover crop of hairy vetch. This is the biomass that was in the vetch. So this was a tillage experiment that I have at May 8th, the tillage time. The biomass of the vetch was 2,000 kilograms per hectare, but 4 days later it was 2,600. That's only 4 days when we use this technology, and normally we have a longer time frame. So you can really increase the biomass of the cover crop significantly. Here you see how it worked out with parting the cover crop, and you get really good seed-to-soil contact. The soil underneath, due to the living root system, is really nice and crump. Compare that to this. Here we have it moldboard plowed, and here it was chisel plowed. You have to disc it still, secondary tillage. Then you have to harrow it. We used the wrong harrow, so we were using it like a comb, a rake. It was not very good. But this is the stand of corn. This is in the moldboard plow. This is a long-term tillage trial, and we are really starting to notice the effects of this long-term moldboard plowing on our soil, because here we get a lot of erosion. And this is the no-till green planted corn. This is the soil in the tilled system, and this is the soil in the planted green corn. This is at harvest. Here you see the soil surface in the moldboard plowed plots, and here underneath the corn. And this is at planting time. There is not a lot left anymore because we have a lot of earthworm activity in these plots. And these were our yields for this year. Moldboard disc harrow, 187 bushels. Chisel disc harrow, 211 bushels. Planted green, 203 bushels. Not significantly different here. This was the highest yield ever that we've achieved in this field. I was really very pleased about this. We also did use it in some other crops, cover crops. Here is crimson clover oat. Here we used that, and here in rye, three foot tall rye. Actually, I would prefer it a little taller because it stays down better. And that is my presentation. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Do you think that for your first no carrot or no stick approach, it really has continued?
Yes, absolutely. Now I am cheating a little bit, but because we are not the only actor in town, there's a lot of happening. There's people who work for a seed company. There's new cover crop seed company in Pennsylvania. There are other also companies who really offer a lot of cover crop seeds. Everybody's the buzz. That's what's going around. One factor that has really impacted us is that the farmers use sometimes these cover crops for forage. So it becomes now an economic value, and they are really banking on it. Yes, we are confident.
We're going to have to move on to the next
speaker. All right. So, thank you.